Welcome again to another Positive News podcast. This episode we have Quincy the Cockney Prince. Hello, all right, geezer. We have Kate Smurfway. Hello. And we've got Manos Koutsis. Yassas.
You. Yassas.
And we are going straight into it this week, guys. We are talking about, first off, disinformation. Well, I've got to come up with an apology because last episode I said wrongfully that Beyonce paid 10 million big ones by someone, by Kamala Harris's group to pay for it.
Yeah. A group, yeah?
Yeah.
Well, Destiny's Child.
for her people thing.
Yes.
So I was
wrong.
A campaign group.
Exactly. Yes. And I just believed it because I just read it on the internet and I thought, yeah.
Or you listened to Candy's Home.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't know. I think it was Elon Musk, I think.
Oh, notorious fact source, Elon Musk. Yeah. He literally had to buy social media so he was still allowed to lie on it.
This is true. So, guys, where have you had disinformation come across in your life, and what's it done to you?
My ex-wife. It was misinformation, it was lies from the start. It just cost me a house.
Okay, fine, right. Are we legally allowed to go down this way? Kate, where have you come across any disinformation?
I mean, yes, everywhere. Every time I switch on social media, all I see is people who I have loved and trusted for generations sharing information that is like totally baseless, total nonsense. And usually it's also like it links back to like, it'll be like people over 65 are dying in their thousands because of this one chemical in your plastic or whatever. And then it links, when you look at the page it's from, all of the posts on that page are like Britain First or something. And you're like, not only is this garbage, but it's being used as like a like farm. And it's like, share if you agree that no one should feed spoons to elderly people. And you're like, of course I agree, but does it need... Yeah.
And I always think that as well, that misinformation has been going on way before social media online.
I mean, there's some in the Bible, isn't there?
Well, there you go. What, further back.
I would argue that, you know, that walking on water stuff sounds unlikely. Yeah.
We may need to skip quickly on to the next.
I like where you were going. But I was going by job applications. If I work for HR, the misinformation people put down to get a job.
Yeah. I'm like, I live at 2,947 Acacia Avenue because I like to beat myself up on my CV.
So have you guys lied, Manos? Have you ever lied on your CV?
I can't remember.
That's a lie because you're pausing.
Zoom in.
I usually tell the truth. That's why I never got a job. So
I'm not even a comic.
What?
I'm not even a comic. I just turned up. You just dragged me in the ass.
That's how you become a comic. You just go around saying you're a comic.
Or is it? You don't need CV. Do you got? You don't need CVs. What do you need for to be a comic? You don't need CVs.
No, but you do. And actually, we all. I don't think it's always the lie, but it's like that exaggeration where if you've played a venue once, you're like regularly headlines at.
Yeah.
Like that, you've written for one TV show. All right, hello, yeah. BBC writer here.
And you've walked past a TV personality, and all of a sudden you've opened the show for them.
Yeah. Oh, I've gigged in New York, Montreal, all of this kind of stuff. Yeah, and you don't finish the sentence. Wembley Arena, disabled bathroom. You just don't finish the sentence.
Or via Google Earth.
Yeah. You like, but that's also like, I mean, you've played the place. Like, claim it. It's somebody else's job to do the research and be like.
100%.
Yeah. Okay, so it's not disinformation. Yeah. It's confidence. That's what it is. It's confidence. It's just a way of like.
I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with giving out fake information. It's just because, you know, it just gives you something to talk about.
Not even if you're like head of the Department of Health and Human Services.
Well, then maybe you should give out the right information.
One thing that's big.
I mean, like when you're in a group of people and you know, if you get the facts a bit wrong, I'd rather do that than look at the phone what the correct answer is to the, you know, the
press. I can see where you're going. There's some misinformation. It levels at who the people you're really targeting at. Because when someone actually researches and then catches you out, then you're like, well, can't campaign to that one.
Yeah. The main reason I say it is I might say some stuff today which I don't know the exact facts about. So, you know.
Just but, your feelings.
No one's facts checking us.
Comedy's all right. Comedy's cool. I mean, it's It's where it comes into health and things like that. So Robert F. Kennedy is now the appointed health meister of America. Let's hear where you guys are on vaccines, COVID. What do you guys think of COVID?
I'm on round six. I'm so vaccinated, it's pouring out of my eyeballs.
Yeah.
I go out there and just lick big issue sellers and I am safe as houses. This is true now. I was on the AstraZeneca vaccine trial. So I volunteered for that at the start of the pandemic, just because I wanted there to be a cure so that I wasn't stuck in my goddamn house going crazy.
Yeah. That was scary, right?
It was brilliant because it was like the only official reason you were allowed to leave the house. Mm. So I was like, I was on the trade.
Did they pay for that?
No, we didn't get paid, but you got like your expenses and stuff. And anyway, I just like wanted to do it. And then they don't tell you whether you get the placebo or the vaccine. They gave me two shots of something and blah, blah, blah. And then a year later, they told me that I had the vaccine because the trial had finished. Mm. And that means I was one of the first 20,000 people in the world to be vaccinated. Wow. And since then, I've had loads more. I love it. Yeah.
Robert Kennedy, I actually read a lot of his stuff before I actually heard him speak.
Yeah.
And I was like, I think this brother's had it already.
And the way he talks is weird.
Does
anyone know what is
it? He's sucked off a Dalek.
Is it a health condition?
Weird staccato way. And yeah, they've said it's a health, but I can't remember what the name of the health condition is. And nor have I ever met anybody else who talks like that.
Old people who've had about 20 Rothmans in the space of about half an hour. Cigar smokers.
That might be the medical condition.
People might not realise how Quincy feels about stuff. I'm like, when he comes to the studio, Quincy will not drink from the tap water here because he's against...
I've seen a couple of adverts
on social media algorithms and I'm not
drinking. What's wrong with tap water? What's wrong with tap water?
It's the government put it there. It's there for a reason. Yeah? It's not there. I was very funny growing up on the...
great tap water, yeah. The closer you are to the river, though, the better it is.
I can sue someone from a bottle with a brand in it. If it happens to me. But I've never been comfortable drinking from drinking fountains. It must be a historic.
What's wrong with... Yeah, what is it? The fluoride? The fluoride in the water?
Well, the area I lived... A lot of soapy people, so I just was very uncomfortable.
You can taste the difference. The difference is very clear in the taste.
Dirty.
But the water, I mean, I understand why you wouldn't drink their bath water after spinning. I get that. That's fair enough. I won't lie.
Yeah.
I prefer it from the tap, not out of the cistern or out of the loo. I don't just scoop it out of the loo, but that's different.
It's just me, I'm very scornful.
Right.
But is it because you're like just a bit squeamish about it and you like to see where things have come from? Or is it because you're like, there is an evil thing the government is
doing? I'm the kind of person that when I go to a takeaway, I like to see what they're cooking. I will look.
Right.
Okay, you see, because...
You're going to starve yourself that way.
No, I'll say this though, right? I am absolutely on the, come on, Quincy, don't be crazy. Water's really good for you. It's perfectly safe to drink it out of the tap, but good God, you won't catch me eating takeaway food. That stuff will kill you, and that is a fact. That's the one where I am with, very, very
all the takeaway places I go to, they have, three stars approved by the health and safety... hygiene.
Three stars. That's out of five. That means they lost two stars. That's a rat and a cockroach in every meal, that is.
It's better than average,
It's protein, isn't it?
Yeah. And Robert's best friend is a guy in Orange who likes McDonald's, so...
Didn't Trump forced him to eat McDonald's? Because Robert Kennedy
said... He doesn't eat foods, so he forced him to eat.
There's loads of foods he doesn't eat because it's bad for you and that the president's diet was awful. And then the next picture was of him sat on the presidential plane and going...
Yeah,
they're all munching down on hamburgers.
Yeah, the things we do for likes on Instagram to pose for something you don't want to do.
Yeah, he obviously had to do that to keep in with Trump, which makes you wonder what the other department heads had to do to get their positions. All he had to do was eat a burger. He's like, thank God it's not worse than this.
But out of the positives, what I reckon Robert Kennedy is doing is literally he's biding his time, looking at Trump, saying, "That was my uncle's seat, and I'm going to get it back for the family."
And sorry, you said this was the positive side here. Sorry, could we just rewind to... I think is positive. I think it's going to be really funny when he shows up as the head of the Department of Health and Human Services to do like a tour of some new hospital. And they'll be like, no face mask, no vaccine. Well, obviously you can't come in to the hospital. And he's like, but we paid for this with national money. And they're going to be like... Yeah, but you're obviously riddled. Get out. And we've got vulnerable patients here.
And I will say that considering all of the health secretaries I've seen around the world, this is probably the healthiest one. At least I can see his waistline.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean,
there were those
amazing pictures of
because he can afford it.
Coffee, weren't they?
You know, so I think it's going to be positive because, you know, he's going to make lots more money for the people working in the health industry in America because they have the private one over there.
That's right.
You know,
one of the good things I think is information instead of disinformation, because there's a lot of information out there. One of these guys, have you, you know, come across this guy who swears a lot and goes into like supermarkets and says this is full of effing this and this, don't buy this biscuits, these are full of effing.
Oh, you mean the egg guy?
Yeah. Have you come across this guy?
Eddie's. He used to be a bodybuilder back in the day.
Bodybuilder.
And he just No. His motto is this is shit.
Yeah. So he goes into Tesco's.
He's been banned for a lot of supermarkets.
Yeah.
And he picks up like cereals and he's saying all this processed stuff, which is true.
Yeah.
He's got a point, but when you're like 8 foot tall and 8 foot wide, you do come across a bit intimidating when you're trying to tell kids don't eat Cheerios.
I mean, I guess they'd stop though. Now you mention it, I'm actually not that hungry after all. Maybe just a piece of fruit would be all right now.
But he never told people his cholesterol is sky high.
I think it's is that right?
Eggs.
Eggs. Sorry. Yeah, he says the best food in the world is eggs. So basically, all he eats is eggs.
Right.
Eggs.
But I think
what does he think about cheese?
I don't know.
Somebody today was telling me that cheese is addictive and it's not good for
He's black, so he's lactose intolerant.
It was a white plant based person.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
So cheese is bad.
A woman.
Cheese is addictive.
Plant based woman.
Oh my God.
I mean,
I like
I think all food is addictive, you know. Like once you have some, you probably want some more.
Yeah, pretty good. Right. Cooked right, here you are.
Broccoli, not so much. But
I love a bit of broccoli. I love a bit of man-made.
But they're sort of right that there's a lot of garbage in food. I sort of agree with. And even food, which is just... The thing is, eggs are the best food, but only if you're deficient in something that's in eggs. Yeah. If you eat a load of eggs, then you probably don't need any more eggs. And a bit of broccoli probably do you a world of good at that point. Like, the best food is whatever's not currently in your diet.
And going back to the Robert Kennedy, one thing I did agree with what he did do in the...
What do you mean one thing? It's about the fourth thing you've agreed with him on. It's starting to sound like he's your best mate.
You love that. You really like him, don't you?
Yeah. Anyone...
You say Robert F. Kennedy, you call him Bob, don't you? I know you call him Bob, Quincy. That's a fact.
There's a scene where he's got the two cereals, his team got the two cereals, the amount of processed stuff and colouring put into the American cereals compared to the European ones.
All right.
And it's literally, the American ones is glowing. It's literally glowing, and they compare it to the European one.
Because they have less rules out there, don't they?
Well, Mr. Obama, they can't get sued because he wrote a letter saying that they can't be sued. They can put what they want in it.
Is that right?
Yeah, I'll check this.
Oh, my God.
Interesting piece on disinformation.
Yeah. So what, Obama's...
That's good.
Obama's really... It's his fault.
I'm not blaming him.
Kennedy's answer is that he's going to get rid of whole departments in the Food and Drug Administration, which is weird because they're the ones...
They're the ones that put the rules in.
Yeah, they didn't put the in the food, right? They're the ones that tell you what you can't put in food.
That's right.
Like, that's their job. So if you get rid of the whole department, nobody's going to stop you. There's going to be less people to investigate when whether stuff is dangerous, what dangerous stuff has been put in food. If anything, you just need... personally... I'm for nationalised food service. Nationalised food service. People should be provided with... Because during the pandemic, weren't they? Like, if you were vulnerable during the pandemic, you'd get a box of, like, some healthy basics delivered to your house. And, food is a basic requirement. People, why should people be, like, panicking about where they're going to eat? Like, queuing up at food banks? If you wanted to, you sign up for it and we send you a box of healthy food every week. and it's paid for by closing the tax havens before you finish your sentence.
Whole Foods for everyone.
Hold on, Manos is Canadian. Sorry, Canada.
Is Canada? How is it pronounced?
Canada. Is Canada better?
It's like the goose.
Is it better than America in terms of food? How's that work?
I mean, I think it's very similar. I couldn't tell you for sure, to be honest, but we have, you know, all the same
people. Do you have larger people in Canada? No.
We have a few, yeah.
Canada's
but I don't know. I don't know what the numbers are like. I would say...
Some of them are Americans on holiday.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this much, though. An extra large size in America, in Canada, that's... The extra large is double extra large in Canada, right? Yeah, so so Canadians, you know, look at extra large as smaller than Americans do, and I think they do the same here. Actually, I think it's about a size, you know, like a large here is a medium in America. So,
different parts of the world is obviously depending on the people and size. I was in Singapore. I asked for an extra large shirt. When he brought it out, I gave it to my child. It was that flat. Who's that for?
Well, obviously, whatever you're going to call a medium needs to be somewhere near an average body size. Otherwise, that's just weird, isn't it? What would you like? I'd like a small and two extra small plates.
Although kids are a lot taller than they used to be these days. I don't know. Have you guys seen kids? They're tall.
They're pretty big, tall, aren't they?
They're bigger now.
Stuff put in the foods.
Yeah.
Is it?
And tap water.
when I lived in Japan one time, I went into a clothes shop and I asked to try on a jumper and she said, no, you'll stretch it.
Oh, wow. All
right, thanks, yeah. Wow. And I'm not even that big, but she was just like, no, it's not happening. And I was like, okay. Thanks for your time.
You stretch it, yeah.
So, okay.
Take my custom elsewhere.
moving on, next topic now. So, Gladiator 2, did you guys watch Gladiator 1?
Oh, hi, Mark.
Yeah, I saw one.
Are you fans of...
I ain't watched it since Jerrica Johnson's left.
Actually, that's come on telly, and that beat Ninja Warrior on the other channel.
Listen, mate,
the
I'm old school Gladiator, mate. Can't beat Shadow.
Anyone with a giant earbud. That's all I need.
To anyone looking at this show from outside the UK, we're talking about a TV show where people used to beat each other.
One in America as well.
Is there one in America?
American Gladiators.
That's where we got it from.
Called here, English Gladiators.
No, we're called Gladiator. Obviously, we invented everything. Right, sorry.
Invent Gladiator, the TV show? Do you know who
No,
knows?
It's American.
Yeah. Is it an American show? American
so
show.
Why is the American one called American Gladiator?
Because they're Americans.
Why isn't ours called English Gladiator? We're just
could be British. We would just like to say, I want no trouble here.
We're ours is called Normal Gladiator.
Do you have Canadian Gladiator?
Pardon?
Do you have Canadian Gladiator?
No, I think we shared the American one, I think.
What about
and
Greek?
There are
Greece?
Some Canadians ones probably in the American Gladiators.
I think the Greeks might have been quite close to the original Gladiators.
Did
the Greeks have Gladiators? Well, it's mostly the Romans, Manus but there was a certain amount of overlap.
Manus is Greek-Canadian.
We just go to football matches and you get it there.
Fight
you know,
people,
right. Yeah. They don't need an excuse to grease up and fight one another naked. They just go for it.
So going back to Greek, the original film Gladiator
with
Russell
Mark.
Crowe. Now they've got a sequel. I don't think Russell Crowe's in the sequel, but... Denzel Washington is in the sequel, and there's a bit of a royal rumble going on because people aren't happy about him being a emperor of Roman.
Oh no, they're not happy.
They're not happy.
Why? Why are they sad about?
They're not happy. Is it the same people who didn't like them having women in Ghostbusters? Yeah, of course. It's like
I think we need to give a brother a position of power. It rumbles. It upsets.
So, what do you guys think of that? Changing...
When you say some people, do you mean racist? What was that? I mean, just some people.
I was using that word like the fact that...
I think that's a good indication that the food people are eating is not good, you know, I mean...
What do you take on that? So, I'll tell you what the problem is, right? The problem is, right, obviously, the history of film is hugely, like, white, European-dominated. It always has been, like...
Apart from Japanese cinema, obviously, where...
Well, there's lots of there are lots of other cinema cultures around the world, but it, yes. like the origins of it,
Hollywood films.
A lot of it has been dominated by Hollywood for generations. Yes. And the problem is, of course, they've then made loads and loads of white-centric films, and now we're looking at those, going, hold on a minute. This doesn't represent us, it doesn't represent our culture, it doesn't represent who we are. Let's make more films with a wider, diverse range of people in it. But they only make sequels, right? That's the problem. Because what would be really good if they just went, right, and now instead of Gladiator, it's like a new film about the history of people of colour from around the world. Sure. But instead, they can't sell a film unless it's a sequel. So they're like, we'll make a sequel to Gladiator. Well, won't that just be a bunch more white people because it's going to be about the Romans? No, the Emperor of Rome, we'll have him played by Denzel Washington. And that probably is the best answer. Yeah. But the better answer would be to make stories that's not just like taking a person of colour and whacking them in the middle of a film about the history of white people. The better version would be to make films about the history of people of colour as well. And then, of course, Denzel Washington be in it.
I think it would be more accepted if it had Denzel Washington rising from the ranks of the slave ships and the Moors, and how he became the emperor of
Rome. Maybe they'll do a prequel where
It's a Roman 12 years a slave type thing.
I felt exactly the same way when I watched Elizabeth Taylor and Cleopatra. Mm-hmm. I was that pissed. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I was waiting for the sequel to come out with Nicki Minaj.
And what about Gerard Butler representing your people?
Yeah,
in 300.
I'm down
for it. I didn't
know
he was Canadian.
he looks Greek.
He looks Greek.
I think Scottish people as well. They have that same
Greek
passion, for war like the Greeks. So yeah, why not let Jared do it? I mean, he did a great job, and I don't think there's any Greek actor who could have done a better job than him. So give him the role. Isn't it different because Greeks are, they're white, so he's just another, what I mean? Like, because what we're talking about Denzel is he's playing an emperor who was a different color,
right?
Which I still think is cool because he's a great actor. And as I said, from the scene I saw, I was like, he's the one who makes me want to watch the movie, honestly.
Okay.
Have you seen him do Shakespeare? I mean,
oh, he did
Macbeth. He is incredible. And he's going to be doing Othello live on Broadway, $400 a ticket, apparently.
Forget that, it's going to be the next Black Panther movie.
That would be a great experience, you know?
You don't want a world where you can only play people who are exactly you, do you? You want actors to be able to... I love it when you're like, and now he's playing someone completely different. But there's also a point where you're like, Charlotte Johansson's Asian now. Is this really necessary? Could they not have found anybody who, like...
Yeah.
There has to be a certain sort of accountability.
But you know what? Historically, it's when you get people of colour who portray white characters, I think that because we are... we tend to do it probably better because we've had that cultural differences around us all the time. Mm. I like to see white characters play black people just to see, and the accents. that's what I like.
Brad Pitt did a great accent.
A great Jamaican.
Yes.
Brad Pitt played it. Hilarious. Even our very own Denzel, when he played Queen and Country, messed up the Cockney accent.
Have you guys seen that? Denzel Washington plays a British soldier.
British soldier.
Yeah.
From the East End.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to figure out what E25, what part of Albert Square it was.
Don Cheadle's a Cockney accent.
Yeah.
In
Ocean's. Getting back to Dick Van Dyke at this rate. Or at Mary Poppins.
That's how we're talking.
Okay, moving on to a third topic is, let's get back to what you guys are more experienced at. You guys are all fine comedians and actors, Manus, but work-life balance as a comedian these days, how do you guys manage it, and what's going on with you guys in terms of...
Well, considering how the industry has depleted, I get to catch up on all my daytime programmes, which is a great... I'm on my third season of Doctors.
Oh, wow. All right. And there's plenty of material there.
There's plenty of material there.
How many seasons?
I just got to find a club to perform it in front of.
Yeah.
They'll be shut down.
But surely it's better because I come from the TV industry, which is doing really badly, is probably one of the reasons I'm doing this podcast.
Ask is £2 a month.
Can you spare this cameraman?
Look at it. Bring in some children with weak knees.
Yeah,
come
yeah,
on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But life, I heard, you know, the live comedy scene's doing much better than TV. Come on, it must be, right?
Yeah, I think
so.
It is.
You guys in gainful employment, and you guys do a bit of teaching as well. That's right, isn't it? I used to teach.
But then I found that the people I was teaching were getting far more better bookings than me, so I cut that out. Taught them too well.
It's a problem.
So yeah. I might go back to it and teach them some misinformation.
Oh, yeah.
Start off with a racist joke at the beginning. Yeah. Sexist joke.
Scream in the audience, insult them. Smack someone. Yeah, yeah. And they love that.
Yeah. So it's interaction.
Do you find, like, your socials? Do you do loads of videos on your socials?
To be honest, I can't speak for the other two individuals, but I mean, I've probably missed the stage of social media. I'm still getting used to it. I'm still trying. Look, time I figure out one.
He's on MySpace, is what he's trying to say.
Still on MySpace. Yeah, I am. I'm still trying to find out where Tom lives.
Well,
but, go on.
I was just saying that
for me, I've seen the circuit change, and it has turned a lot online on social media. And but I'm about the art, and I'm old school. It's like put a comic in front of an audience to feel that energy. You can't feel the energy through a lens. And we're finding that a lot of comedians now are getting booked for arenas through doing 3 minutes, and if they want to do a solo show on the back of 6 months of marketing themselves, that's probably why Donald Trump won, because the marketing is when you know your target audience.
No sausage, yeah, exactly.
Beyonce was not paid.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, I think I'm still getting used to the social media side of it. And like myself and Kate, we have got the background of previous shows, so we can walk into most rooms and assess it. So that's always a plus.
I feel like personally, yeah, I'm pretty busy. But I will spin back to this work-life balance. That's a fucking scam, right? That is a scam, work-life balance. They tell you that you need work-life balance, and they tell you that to make you think that you have to spend half of your life working in order to be allowed to spend the other half living. It is like, do you know what I mean? It's such a scam, isn't it? Work-life balance.
Yeah.
The other reason they use balance is to trick you into thinking you have to do yoga. You don't, actually. It's big yoga, don't be fooled. But this idea that you would somehow balance the time you're supposed to hand over to, like, the capitalist patriarchy, like, runaway garbage machine in return for getting half of your life back. We all know that if everybody worked really hard on genuinely useful stuff for 10% of their time for 3 years, we wouldn't need to work after that. Like, we could all set it up. Fully automated luxury communism is what I'm aiming for. Like, it's all unnecessary. Like, you're working your guts out, and it just makes profits for the machine that then exploits you harder. The whole thing is a scam, and I'm very pleased to not be part of it, because I work for myself and I do my own thing, and it's fairly direct. Like, I get on stage, they give some money, that goes in my pocket. Like,
and the people that have come to see you, they're invested in you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the best thing as a comic. Like, when people come to see you, compared to a club where they come to see the show, but when you put your stuff on. Yeah.
But I think even with the clubs, like, they trust a certain promoter and a certain show, and there's clubs that I go and do, and the audience have come because they're like, we know these guys, they'll have booked what we enjoy, they'll have booked a really good quality show. And then it's rather than wandering around looking for a generic comedy show, they know what they've come for. And then also, I have my solo show and I tour that, and that goes all over the place. And as such, like, it's not really about work-life balance, because I like what I'm doing, but there is never a point where I can't go and do a bit more work. I could always ring another venue, set another thing up, book something in, put a little video online. You know, there's always something else I could do, but at some point you have to go, I'm entitled to a weekend.
Yeah. And I can say that for my work-life balance as a comic, my grandbabies are my balance. So so whenever I invested in my grandbabies, that was just for me.
Manus,
if you don't say that, then they'll find out.
Yeah. It's online for the rest of life now.
I just want to say,
I did love you at some point.
Yeah, for me, I do it for the kids. You're welcome.
All four of them.
Yeah. Manus, you've just done a stage play, and that did well. How was that in terms? Was that a struggle? Was it easy? Well, how'd you find it?
Yeah, it was great. Yeah, I mean, leading up to it, the rehearsals got a bit stressful, like, you know, the closer you get to it. But the week of the run was great. And I took the week off and made sure I didn't have any other work. So I got plenty of rest and just focused on that.
There's an appetite for live. I think people do like going out to see stuff. So that's something that AI is not going to take over.
It will never take over that.
Also, every comic's done it. Put it into AI, write some jokes that Kate Smurthwaite would do, and it can't. It just can't because it's
ain't got your DNA or personality.
And it's not because it can't write jokes. It's because it can't write jokes with heart in it. Because it's not just about the joke, it's about who you are. And it's called show business for a reason. You have to show up. It actually doesn't, in a way, matter at the end of the day, almost what you say. You have to show up and be present on stage. Yeah, people have come to see, and if they can't see you, then they won't stand and stare at an empty stage. It doesn't matter how good the jokes being projected on the back of it are.
And what we do makes the show is moments. So sometimes anything can happen, and AI can't predict that. Yeah. A moment.
AI can't lay into that bloke in the third row for still being on his phone. But no, you're dead right. It's and it's the only art form with no fourth wall. So that's what is magic about it. Not that you should all show up at comedy shows and start being idiots, because we don't need that. But it is about that little tiny moment that just happens, and you pick at it and it.
I wouldn't ask though, as an actor though,
yeah.
I have so much admiration for actors who stick to the script and don't veer off, because I can't do it.
You mean to be or not to be? You know what? That's a weird phrase, isn't it? It doesn't really make any sense, does it?
When we were doing the show the first night, I blanked and I forgot a line. And then the other actress, she whispered it in my ear. And then I told her off backstage, I said, never whisper it into my ear. Just let me figure it out, or you come up with a line to help me out, but don't whisper it in my ear. And then the next day I blanked again, and I was like, And then she just looked at me and was like, And I was like, yeah, and it came back to me, and then I got it, you know.
In the second half.
You know what I mean? Improvising in a play is not about, changing the script. It's more about when people are expecting you to do one thing, you do something else, and it's I believe you should throw off the other actors and stuff and keep them on their toes.
So moving on to another thing, it's funny you guys were speaking about AI writing jokes. I just tried it for a laugh, right? So I asked ChatGPT to make a joke about Donald Trump and Nigel Farage. So this is what it came up with. Here you go. Nigel Farage and Donald Trump walk into a bar. Trump says, "I'll buy everyone a round." Farage says, "I'll help." The bartender replies, "Okay, but just make sure you both leave when the tab comes." And that's ChatGPT. It's here all week.
Yeah, it just doesn't write jokes. Writing jokes is... The problem is that jokes rely on something that you were not expecting but still makes logical sense to you. And those things are so incredibly personal and subtle that you can't expect a machine to do it. You just cannot expect a machine to do it, because it's about whether this is recognisable, and it's about whether it's expected. It has to be recognisable and unexpected.
And if Donald Trump and Nigel Farage walked into a bar, depending on what the bar is, me personally, it's going to kick off in here.
Okay, so ChatGPT isn't smart enough to write your jokes, but are you smart enough to compete in our competition, Brit Comedy Catchphrases, sent in to us by Mad Michael Monkhouse, an iMotion writer who lives in Rome. Look at him there, just by the Colosseum. So here we go. Question number one. Blackadder, name a catchphrase.
Baldrick?
I didn't watch better.
I have a cunning plan. One foot in the grave. Easy one, come on.
I don't believe it.
There we go, yeah.
I'm not even doing the voice, I'm just like... There's a remake.
I know that, that's my mum's favourite.
There's a very dry remake of One Foot in the Grave where it's just me going, I don't believe it.
Vicar Dibley, although I've never watched that.
There's a character that goes,
Little Britain.
Little Britain is like
Can't do it.
Only Fools and Horses.
Plonker.
You Plonker, yeah.
You Plonker.
Yeah,
I got it. Catherine Tate Show.
Is My Face Bothered? Yeah, but Is My Face Bothered?
Yeah, classic, classic. Is that?
How Very Dare You?
Oh, yes, yes. Till Death Do Us Part.
Oh, I don't know it well enough. No.
No, no, do I?
No.
Till Death Do Us Part, that's...
The bloke, Alf Garnett. Alf Garnett.
No, so Alf he'd Garnett, bang on the wall and he'd shout, I can bang,
that's
I
a good
can
one. Yeah, bang. Yeah, yeah. I would have taken You Silly Moo is another one.
Generically saying anything racist, that's another one, isn't it?
Like, that's the only thing I can think of as a racist stuff.
Bunch of things I don't think I'm going to say out loud right now. Oh, what's the top catchphrase? Oh, okay, right.
Take it across the seas, Friends.
Oh, I can't stand Friends.
Never watched it.
How You Doing?
That's the classic. Yeah. And Two Ronnies.
And A Good Night From Him.
That was A Good Night From Me. Yeah, that's the one. Simpsons.
Oh!
Yeah, we go.
In harmony. Good work.
Had to do it. Young Ones, The Young Ones.
I mean, it's brilliant, The Young Ones, but...
they didn't have phrases. Like?
Did they have phrases?
Bathroom's free, unlike the country under the Thatcherite junta.
I was keen to remember that one.
Tommy Cooper.
Just like that?
Just like that.
Good one. Oh, this one's just... This is just goes to Manos, because he does this on the... As a stage show. Hello, hello.
I shall say this only once.
There we go, that's the one. Mrs. Brown Boy, Mrs. Brown's Boys.
No idea. No idea.
We'll leave that one AI could probably write. Okay, fine. That's it, guys. Well done. That's the end of the show. And Kate gets most points on that one.
Yeah, she killed it, man. Bloody hell. Funny, phone a friend. I'm a celebrity. Yeah.
Well done, guys. And anything else to comment with? Any other interesting stories that we missed out from?
I am going to say one which I was inspired last week of Hannah from New Zealand, who done the hack in Parliament.
Oh, Maori. That was great, that, wasn't it?
That literally was my...
Positive.
Just like spine chilling. Yeah.
What was that?
When
new legislation that they're going to bring in New Zealand that is going to take rights away from indigenous Maori communities. Oh, right. And that she's the youngest member of the New Zealand Parliament, and she is Maori herself. Mm. And they were asking for the votes, and so it was like the Green Party were like, you know, five votes against or whatever, like, and then other parties were like, we voted in favour against, and it got to her, and she was supposed to say, like, the party that represents the indigenous people, she was supposed to get up and say, like, you know, no. Six votes no, or whatever they were, and then she got up, and then she tore the voting slip in half, and then she started doing the hacker, and then all the indigenous members of parliament and everybody else like just got up and started doing the hacker. Wow. And she like walks up to the speaker and it's so terrible.
Oh wait, I did see that video. Like, I didn't know what the context was, but she did it in the courthouse.
Yeah,
in the parliament.
If you watch it, there's another Maori woman who's sitting next to her. And at first it's like, you know, like that aunt is a bit embarrassed. And she's like, I've got to do this. She just
Get up and dance.
She's like, if I don't do this, I can't go back to the village. but that to me was like, because it didn't need to be from the Maori. It spoke volumes of where we're at in the world today. Yeah. So I done it on my radio show today. I spoke about women who are literally the voices now of the struggle.
Positive news.
I'll give it
that.
Hannah. Big up, Hannah.
Big up to the man. Okay. And on that positive, upbeat note, we can say goodbye. Goodbye, everyone, and see you on the next episode.
See you later.
Bye.